For the last couple of months, God has really been speaking to me just about coming back to basics. And for me, what that meant was just to stop complicating everything and just to get back to what is the things that are important to God and to make those things important to me. And one of the main things was just the Word. I love the Word in any case, because since the day that I got saved, it felt like the Word just opened up to me. Everything that I read felt like this amazing adventure and story that I was reading, and it came alive in my mind. I've got a very vivid imagination, so everything that I read, I would visualize it and see it happening, and I must say to you, I cannot wait one day in heaven to ask God, please can you just show me that scene that happened there, or what happened here, or I'm just so into detail, and I want to see what happened. I want to be a part of those stories. So the Word for me is really a place of how we can get back to basics. I think sometimes we get so reliant on watching other people's sermons, downloading those YouTube clips or other, you know, downloading worship things from other people, that we actually stop just coming to the Lord ourselves, just reading the Word ourselves, actually diving into the Word and finding for ourselves that revelation of what God is saying to us. We're reliant on other people making us understand the Word, okay? Am I the only one that's guilty of that? All right. So that's why God has been challenging me just on my sermons as well. Get back to basics. Stop complicating it. Just preach straight out of the Word, and that's what we're going to do today. So if you want, you can read out of your own Bible. I'm going to be reading, and now I didn't write it here. Where am I reading from? From Luke. I think it's Luke 12, 22. If I'm wrong, you can just tell me. But basically, I've been working through Luke, just getting back to, again, what was Jesus busy with? What was the things that he was doing? And I must be honest with you, sometimes when I read Luke, I feel like they skip a lot of detail. There's so much stuff in between that I want to know. Like, what was this conversation that they had? And how did this person get from here to here? Especially that passage that he was reading this morning of Zacchaeus. Like, I just couldn't understand. How did he get from being the tax collector in the tree to suddenly going, okay, yes, Lord, I repent? Like, what, that whole conversation was just skipped. But I guess that's part of God's mystery, wanting us to search, wanting us to look, wanting us to ask those questions so that he can reveal his heart to us. All right, so this morning, I'm going to be speaking about trusting the Lord, which for me is also something personally that I'm working on every single day. Because I am the kind of person that wants to control everything. I want to understand everything. I want to see the detail of everything, as you just heard. And that means trusting is sometimes not that easy for me. And especially in the kind of work that I do, I work with people, obviously. So you can't control people. I can't make someone understand something. I can't force someone to choose something. I need to trust the Lord on a daily basis. And so God took me to this. And it's a passage that all of us know. We all know this so well that we quote it to one another. We quote it to ourselves. We quote it to someone when they're going through a really bad time. But actually, we miss so much of the detail. And I want us to go to that. From verse 22, it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious and troubled with cares about your life, as to what you will have to eat or about your body, as to what you will have to wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Observe and so consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more worth are you than the birds?'" Let us stay there. So I want us to first look at where it says, do not be anxious. And if we look at what the actual definition of anxious is, it says, feeling worried or troubled about something with an uncertain outcome. That is what happens when you get anxious, when you start worrying. It's because you don't know what the outcome is going to be and you can't control the outcome. And so we start stressing. And isn't it amazing? Every time there's something that happens to us that we cannot control, we immediately start stressing about it. That is our first reaction. We worry. We worry about our child going to school for the first time. Will they make friends? Will they be okay? Will they scrape their knee? Will they break their neck? You can't control that. You need to send them to school and trust that they're going to be okay. And all the parents are smiling. Okay? When you go to work, sometimes you need to do something and you can't control it. You can't really control the outcome, and you need to trust that the Lord is going to make it happen for you. Okay? So, that is the first thing. Now I want to ask you, I want you to close your eyes quickly. Everyone. Everyone. And I want you to ask yourself, what if you had to think about it right now? That's why I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes from all the distractions, because we tend to keep our eyes open and then we keep thinking about all the things that worries us, okay? What right now are you worried about? Keep your eyes closed. I want you to not think about the person sitting next to you. Don't think about anyone around you. Don't think about your child in the kiddies room right now. I want you to think about this. What right now are you worried about? Maybe it's more than one thing. Maybe it's a lot of things. Okay, I want you to open your eyes. What is it that you're worried about? And we'll get to that just now, why I want you to ask that. The thing is that God wants us to understand is, yes, we are people, and we are going to be fallible, and therefore, yes, we're going to worry. Because we're people, and we can't control every situation. But God wants us to understand something today. He says in His Word here to us, do not be anxious. But it feels sometimes like it's very difficult to do that, right? It's very difficult when someone says to you, oh, don't worry about it, and you go, you don't understand. You have no idea what I'm busy with. You have no idea the amount of debt that I'm in. You have no idea how hectic my mom-in-law is. You have no idea, etc., 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 fill in the blank, okay? It's very easy to go into that panic mode because you feel your problem and your thing is the biggest thing in the world. But firstly, I want to say to you, when all of your eyes were closed, I could see on all of your faces, every one of you have something that you're worried about. So we're not alone. All of us have things that we're worried about. But here's what God says, if you can go back to that. Yes. He uses an example, and I love how God does this. He makes it so simple that He uses very plain and simple examples for us to click something. He says, let us look at the ravens. All right, now, I went and Googled ravens because I don't know that much about a raven. And what I found out was very interesting. They are extremely intelligent. They're very, very strong. They can go out flying and they can stay out for hours and hours because they've got so much stamina. Their wingspan is so big and strong. But if you look at what most people associate ravens with, it's usually a bad omen. Also, if you look at a raven, they're not very pretty. They're usually quite ugly. And we also look at the raven and we see them as a symbol of death in some cultures, okay? So very interesting that God chooses the raven. Also, if we look at the Bible, of just examples of where God used the raven, in the passage of Noah, before He sent out the dove, because we all remember the dove, He first sent out the raven. And the raven never came back. And then He sent out the dove. Because a dove can't fly for that long. It has to find somewhere to rest. And the second place that we find a raven, that God makes use of a raven, is when Elijah went into the mountains. There was drought in the land. And what animal does God send to feed Elijah? The raven. Okay. He sends ravens of all the animals, the one that's intelligent and usually steals other people's food because that's what they like to do. He sends the raven to feed His son. Now, what's amazing again, God always uses this example. He uses the most unlikely to make a point. The raven is the most unlikely bird because it is self-sufficient. It can look after itself. It's a strong bird. It's also something that people associate with as death. And yes, He uses it in two examples in the Bible for life. And then He uses it here to say, even the raven I look after. Even the raven, who is ugly and not the bird that you would have thought I would use as an example, I use for you to click that I look after you. if so much more you. Does it make sense? Okay. Let's go on. 25, and which of you, being overly anxious and troubled with cares, can add a cubit to his stature or moment, a unit of time, to his age, the length of his life? If then you are not able to do such a little thing as that, why are you anxious and troubled with cares about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither wearily toil nor spin nor weave. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, his splendor, was not arrayed like one of these. Close your eyes again. Please just don't fall asleep on me. Close your eyes. Everyone. We answered the question, Nana, what are you worried about? Now I want you to answer the question, why are you worried? This is important. This is why you have your eyes closed so you can think about it, to focus your mind on this. Why are you worried? What is going to happen? What are you thinking is going to happen? What is that thing that makes you go, I'm so worried about this. What if this happens? What are the what ifs? Why are you worried? And I want you to open your eyes. God wants us to actually be honest with him in spaces like this. God is not scared if we say to him, this is why I'm worried. And this is why I'm worried. He doesn't get scared. He loves it. Because that's when we can start a conversation with him. Okay, Lord, I am worried about this, and this is why. I'm scared if I don't pray enough for my mom who's sick that she's going to die. I'm scared if I don't constantly walk with my child with hand in hand everywhere that I go that someone's going to kidnap this child. I'm scared if I don't make the best food for my husband every single night that he is going to leave me. Okay? Whatever it is, but we find ways to make ourselves feel like we need to do something to make the situation better, to determine the outcome. But the joke is, I can tell you, and I've not even been married that long, no matter what I do, I can't make Murray stay with me, my husband. I can't make him love me. I can't force him to stay with me. Ultimately, it's out of my control. I have to trust that when he made that covenant and when he said that I am for you, everything I have is yours and everything that you have is mine, that he meant it. All I can control is myself, what I am to him. I can control how much I love him. I can control how much I serve him, how much I sacrifice to him. And all the rest I can do is trust. Trust that that will reciprocate. And thank the Lord, I have a great husband that does exactly that. Okay? We can only control our part, how we come to the situation. But worrying won't make the situation better. So now, again, he uses an example that's so simple. He says, look at the lilies. How they grow. They neither wearily toil nor spin nor weave. Okay? So it's just a flower. He says, look at the flowers and see just how they're there. That's all they do. They have no other purpose. They're just there. They stand there. And then he does something interesting. He compares it to Solomon. Why would he do that? So I'm going to ask you, and I want you to respond. If you think of King Solomon, what are the things that you associate with him? Anything. There's not a wrong. Give me something. Wisdom? Something else? Rich, yes. Wise. Something else? Powerful. Did you say wise or wives? Okay. Yeah, the two are close. All right, anything else? Sorry? In sorrow. Someone knows the stories. Okay, I'm going to get there, but that's also true. Okay, so if we had to put King Solomon in the context of today, he would be, who would he be? Who would he be in your mind? Maybe the Bill Gates or the Trump or Obama even, probably. I don't know. Think of that person that you think has rich, like riches and wisdom and the woman, and everyone knows him. And what was amazing about King Solomon as well, initially when God asked him, what do you want, and I'll give you anything, his response was pure. I want wisdom. And obviously as a ruler, that's the best thing you could have asked for, because when you have wisdom, you can rule wisely. You don't rule selfishly. And God loved that so much about him that he said, okay, well, then I'm going to give you everything. So he did. So his call to fame almost was the fact that he was wise, rich, had lots of women, and everyone wanted to be in his presence. If you go and read the whole story, go to Kings, you'll see that it actually says everyone over the world just wanted to be in his presence. Okay, so again, who would that be in our context today? And then I think it's probably Obama. If I look at how people reacted when he came to South Africa, it was crazy. All right? So that kind of sensation thing. Now I want to ask you, when you think of King David, what are the things that stand out for you? What are the key words that you remember? Goliath. Like, the men always remember that one. What else? Adultery. What else? Dancing in the streets. Okay. Anything else? Of his character. Sorry? He killed the lion and the bear. So his strength, we talked about his strength now. We talked about the fact that he was a man. Courage, he was courageous. Repentance, he was a man that was humble as well. Praise, yeah, the man loved to worship. We're singing a song still today. His heart, what about his heart? He had a heart after God. Okay, can you see the contrast of what just happened? How he compared Solomon and David? And the reason why we remember those things about David and those things about Solomon is because, what he said, no, no. King Solomon's Achilles heel, I almost want to say, was woman. He had everything, everything. Everyone envied him. Everyone wanted to be him. Everyone wanted his wealth and his wisdom and everything that he had. And yet, it wasn't enough. Because at the end of the day, he strayed away from the Lord because of a woman. Okay. There's a movie where the guy says, she's a wily temptress. She tempts in a wily fashion. Okay. He strayed because of a woman. And what happened is that woman didn't serve God. She served other gods. And so he followed her. And God was so angry with him and he punished him because of it. And now, even though David wasn't perfect either, it's interesting how we always remember that David was a man after God's own heart, where Solomon was the man who was wise. What kind of legacy is being left behind? And now, if we go back, so I don't want to go off my point. If we go back to the lilies, God now says, look at the lilies and look at Solomon. He's saying so much more than Solomon's clothes. He's saying, if I, who had given Solomon everything, and he cannot even compare to the flowers. And I must be honest, if I dig even deeper, I would say it also went as far as to say the purpose of flowers and all creation is to worship the Lord. They were made for his pleasure. Okay? Solomon also was on that road for God's pleasure, and yet, because he's a man and because he's humble, because he's got will to choose, he chose not to follow God anymore. God is also saying Solomon couldn't even compare to flowers. Not just because of the clothes on his back or because of his fame or because of the woman or because of the riches that he had, but because the flower's purpose was to worship the Lord. And even in that sense, Solomon couldn't compare. Okay. This is a big thing for us because we constantly say to God, I want to trust in my own ability to control things. Instead of going, God, I trust in who you say you are, and therefore I know that you control things. Does it make sense? And that's why God makes the comparison between Solomon and the lilies, because the lilies have nothing else to do but to worship the Lord. But we, all of us, have a choice every single day. We can worship the Lord, we can trust him, or we can trust in our own ability. But at the end of the day, we still don't have control. So it actually is pointless. I want us to go on to 28. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O you people of little faith? And you do not seek by meditating and reasoning to inquire into what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be anxious, troubled of mind, unsettled, excited, worried, and in suspense. For all the pagan world is greedily seeking these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Let's stop there. God says to us, you of little faith. Now immediately we go, oh, I failed. I don't have enough faith, that's why I worry the whole time. I don't have enough faith, that's why I'm anxious. No, God is just saying the obvious. You are human. And no amount of worrying, and look at all the words, I love this about the Amplified. No amount of being unsettled or excited or worried or in suspense or making plan B, C, D, and E is going to make this happen for you. Just trust in me. I know what you need. I love the fact that he even says, I know that the whole pagan world is going after the same riches that you worry about. I know that you need them. He knows that we need clothes. He knows that we need food. And yet, isn't it hectic if you have had a very tough month financially and you get to that last week and it starts like, oh my goodness, we have almost no money left, and you start freaking out. But God is so faithful, he always comes through, and yet every time we are put to the test, in a sense, we forget all about that. We forget immediately. And God doesn't have to say, he didn't even have to say it here, that he knows that we need clothes and food. Clothes, and again, really, especially for us as ladies, we love clothes. We love being able to dress beautifully and look feminine and just going and buying nice shoes and whatever your weakness is, okay? Even in that sense, God isn't going, oh, that's a horrible thing. You know, how can you want clothes? He's not saying that. He's saying even in that place, where clothes is not even a necessity, it's just something that's beautiful and to cover your body. I know that you need it. And food, who can say we don't love food? We all love food. We need food. Sometimes we buy too much and we don't even need that much amount of food. Okay? But even in that, God doesn't say to us, I don't want to give you food. He says, I want to give it to you. I know that you need it. Even in the things that are very material, I will provide. And I love that. We sometimes go, oh, you know, I feel so condemned that I want material things. And that's not what God is saying. Even in the material things that we need, the basic things every day, God will provide that for us. And no amount of worrying about it is going to make you get it. And that's what God wants to get through. So my last question to you is, we said now what it is that you're worried about, why you're worried about it, and now I want to ask you, what is going to happen if you don't get what you need, or what you think is going to happen happens? Or what you're scared of is going to happen actually happens. What then? Then what? That's when we're really out of control. And that is when God looks to us and says, now, even in this place, do you trust me? And that's the hard one. Verse 31 says, only aim at and strive for and seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be supplied to you also. Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you possess and give donations to the poor. Provide yourself with purses and handbags that do not grow old. An unfailing and an inexhaustible treasure in the heavens where no thief come near and no moth destroys. Now it really challenges us. And the most important thing that I want you to see there is aim at, strive for, and seek his kingdom. And all these things shall be supplied to you also. So what is God saying to us who are worrying and stressing and the what ifs? What is he saying to that? How must you then handle it? He says, seek me, find me, search me, and I will take care of this other stuff. This is hard. I'm not even saying this is an easy thing. This is something you have to be disciplined with every day. When you get into the car and you're driving and you're angry because this guy just went in front of you, oh, I could have gotten into an accident, and you're stressing about it even though nothing happened. Even in those moments, those silly things, God is saying, seek me and I will take care of the rest. You will not get into that accident. Send your child to school. Let them go. Trust me with this child. You just seek me, and I will take care of your child. That is hectic. Go to work. Do your best. Don't be lazy. Do your best. But once you send off that assignment that you had to do, once you did what you needed to do, let it go. You search me, and I will take care of this. This is a big thing. I'm preaching this to myself. Really, I am. Because I still need to get this as well. What God is saying to us ultimately is focus on the end result. Focus on the eternal prize here. Because worrying and stressing and working so hard for material things that is going to be gone tomorrow anyway is not what God wants us to waste our time on. He wants us to consistently have our heart towards Him. Focus on Him, searching for Him, and He will provide the rest. And I love that as well. I love that He doesn't go, just search for me and be poor and live off nothing and you will have the kingdom. He's not like that. He's a father. Remember that God is a father. He knows what you need. Every parent sitting here today, you cannot tell me that you as a parent don't know what your child needs. You better than anyone else knows what your child needs. And I know my sister sometimes got so angry when I would say to her, but don't they need this and can't I do that? And she's like, I know what he needs. And then I have to repent because I'm not the mom. But God knows. He knows what you need. Why would he not look after us? But that means we need to focus on him. That is the only requirement here. Aim at, strive for, and seek His kingdom, and all these things shall be supplied to you also. Do not be struck with fear. Do not let fear come in. God is not the God of fear. He says His perfect love drives out fear. And I love that it says it is His good pleasure to give you these things, to give you the kingdom. God's ultimate heart for us is not to drive around in a Rolls Royce and not to have the 5-story house and all the dogs and 5 children, all of that. Yes, He will give that if that's what He thinks we need. But ultimately, He knows what we need is the kingdom. We need to be in eternal focus all the time. If I can bring that home in the sense of being very practical. That's why things like coming here today, coming to church, is you building the kingdom. That is you saying, God, I choose to come and seek you with my fellow believers. You going to small group is you saying, I choose to come and seek your kingdom. You going to work and not being so focused on your own work and you forget the poor person next to you. You can see maybe had a horrible weekend or they're crying or they have a back pain and you just go, no, I'm so busy now. I need to focus because my promotion might come up. And you forget that the reason why God put you in the job that you are is firstly to bring the kingdom. Firstly, that's your ministry. Now, I said as well, like, for me, working in an office with Yako and them is sometimes easy because everyone is Christian, all right? But even us as Christians, it's amazing sometimes to have that person come to you and say, you know what, Henri, you don't look well. Come, let's go speak. Tell me what's going on. Let's pray together. And even for us, that means a lot. How much more the person who doesn't know God? Everything that we do, we have to ask ourselves right now, how can I focus first on Him? How can I first seek Him? Especially the parents. You know what an amazing ministry you have being a parent? I'm so jealous in that sense. You literally walk down the road and everyone comes to see your baby. Everyone wants to come and see your child. Oh, and they sometimes forget to greet you. I'm very guilty of that as well because they're just focusing on this little child. But immediately you have an open ministry right there. You go to school and you've got the teachers, you've got the children, you've got the families, you invite them over and they get to see a family operating in kingdom. What a privilege. And suddenly your family has a purpose. And it's not just about being a family. It's about how can we as a family constantly live the kingdom of God? How can we seek him? He will provide all the rest. And then finally it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want you to close your eyes for the last time. Everyone, please just don't fall asleep now. And this is the last question. Where is your heart? If your heart is constantly with the things that are making you worried, with your child, with your husband, or with your wife, with your work, maybe even your family, and it can completely be granted things that you are worried about. But God is asking you today, where is your heart? Because that is where your treasure is right now. And only you and God can answer this question. I'm not going to know. No one else is going to know. Where are you busy building your treasure? Okay, I'm going to open your eyes. Again, I want to say to you, this is not to condemn you. God didn't write all of this and made sure that this passage was in the Bible so we can feel condemned about how little faith we have and how we're worried, and obviously our treasure is not with the Lord. God does this to constantly remind us, constantly. At the end of the day, when he stands in front of us, he's not going to ask you how much money you made. He's not going to ask you how well your child did at school. He's not going to ask you how many songs that you worship on a Sunday. He is going to say, I want to know you. We all know that, where he says, go away from me, for I never knew you. Which says that is what's most important to God. He wants to know us. And we can only do that if our treasure is him. He must be our treasure. Even if you have children, I think something that's amazing is the fact that your child looks at you. Your child copies everything that you do. It's one of the things that I love whenever I come here watching all of you, or we're on a holiday and I watch my sisters with their kids, they do this copy thing. You brush your hair, they brush their hair, and especially the girls. You start doing makeup and they start doing makeup. The little boys try to hammer in what my dad is doing. They I love it. It's so cute. But in that, God wants us to see something. Your child is busy copying who you are. It's a terrifying thought. Especially since we know we're not perfect and we are going to make mistakes and we don't always want our children to end up like us. But if we seek him, if our treasure is God, if everything that we do is to find him, then our child will do the same. Think about that. Isn't that freeing? It's okay if you're not perfect. It's okay if you make mistakes. It's okay if you forget something that's important to them. But if they consistently see you following and searching God, they will do it. And you don't have to worry about their salvation. They will see it first from you. I want to say to you something personal. That, and this is not going to be on the recording, whoever does the recording stuff. I come from a family that has pretty much was gone because he could see what was important to us was him and that freedom. And I want to say to you today, especially for us as women, be careful to not become a nagging wife, to constantly be on your husband's case about what he's not providing, about what he's not giving, about what he's not bringing to the table, how he's not spending time with our children. We as women have such a powerful tool to completely break our husbands or to push him over the edge to do something stupid because he wants to provide. That's his heart. Men can't help it. They are like that. Am I right? They want to protect. They want to cover. They want to be the ones that look after the family. If we as their wives don't support them and love them in spite of, we can push them over the edge. And I can tell you today, I have the greatest respect for my mother after everything because of this. Because she chose to say, I do not care about what you have given me and what you can't give me now. You are my husband and I walk with you. Even now, with everything that's happening, she's still supporting him. And yes, for the men, I know it's humble pie to say to your wife, okay, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. But there's such a freedom in that because you are not alone. God gave you a helper. Let's not let pride come in the way of looking at our wives and saying, now is the time that I need you more than ever. Especially when it comes to small things. It's even in the smallest things that we need to say out loud, I need your help, or I will support you no matter what. I want you to stand with me, and I just want to end off in Proverbs 3, verse 5. And I wanted to choose this one because it's Solomon. And it's interesting for me that after everything that happened to him, he also had to learn the hard lessons. And how well he learned it. He says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. And turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and marrow and moistening to your bones. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors. And with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. That is how we get out of a place where we're in bondage because of anxiety or stress or worries. We give it to the Lord. We give him our tenth. We give our offering, or we give to the person who needs it, or we support a great place like Straatwerk or those places. We give without worrying because God says that is how your vats will be overflowing. He knows what you need. Let's not hold on to it. It's not ours to hold on to in the first place, especially when it comes to things like money. God says, let go of our children. I have them in the palm of my hand. I formed them. I know them better than you know them. Let them go. Trust me. You follow me, and I will take care of your child. Go to work. Give it your best. Be excellent. Do not be a bad steward with what you've been given. But trust me with your work. Even when you know you've done everything and you're not getting this right, trust the Lord with your work. He is clever. He's much more clever than you are, than what I am. He knows better than all of us how to help you. So trust him, and he will fill everything for you. He will open the doors. I want everyone to just close your eyes. And I just want to give a quick opportunity for anyone today that wants to pray, that wants to just pray with someone for the courage to trust the Lord, for the choice to trust him, because it is a choice. You cannot make yourself trust the Lord. You have to choose it. Even when you're shaking inside you, you can still choose to do it. Don't look at your emotions. Don't even follow your emotions. You know, it's a dangerous thing sometimes to say, I felt the peace of the Lord, and then I make the decision. Sometimes you're not going to feel the peace of the Lord. But then you go, but I can still trust Him even if I'm scared. I can still trust Him even if I'm not sure. You don't have to wait for some peace to come over you. That's also a way to control a situation. We can choose to trust Him. And I want to give an opportunity while every eye is closed, if you are here this morning and you want to say, I want to choose to trust the Lord. I do not want to let my emotions guide me. I don't want to make plan B, C, and D. I want to give the stuff to the Lord. I want to choose to trust Him. Then I want you to put up your hand quick. And if you've put up your hand, you can put it down. Thank you. If there's anyone else? Yeah, Father, I want to thank You for every hand this morning as a testimony of wanting to trust You, of wanting to say, Lord, no more. No more anxiety. I will not be the anxiety. I will not be the worry. I will not be the things in my life that I'm trying to control. I will be trust. I will be the person that comes and says, I trust the Lord. That I want to do. And so, Father, I pray for every person here, whatever their fears are, whatever their anxieties are, whatever the situations are that are real to them, that are scaring them, that are out of their control. Lord, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. No matter if it's big or small, I feel God saying to you today, I have You. I am for You. There is nothing too big out of My hands. Nothing. I am the Creator of everything. This is in My hands as well. And so, Father, we say in agreement together today, we choose to trust You. We choose to trust You and not our emotions, not our plans. Secondly, I want to ask, if you are here today and you know that that verse that says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, and you know your heart is not with the Lord at the moment. I'm not speaking about you backslid and you walked and you wandered off. I'm talking about your heart is most of the time with your child or with your husband or with your work or anything else. It could be anything. You know what it is. And that means your treasure is there. If you want to say today to the Lord, you know what, God, I want my heart back in line with Yours. I want to be in step with You. I want You to be the treasure in my life. Then I want you to put up your hand as well. Thank you for those hands. If there's anyone else and I didn't see you, just put your hand down. Thank you. Oh, thank You, Father, for every hand. Thank You, Lord, for people that are saying today, my heart wants to be Your heart. My heart wants to be in line with Your heart. You are the one that I want to make the treasure in my life, not this other stuff. I want to pray for every person, Lord, that said today, You are my treasure. I pray, Father, that even as they walk out of here and the devil's going to come and try and make them worry again and make them think about those other things again, I pray that immediately may your Spirit remind them, immediately, right now, choose Me. Right now, put your heart in line with Mine. Right now. And I pray, Father, for a discipline, a spiritual discipline. And I know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a choice every day. But I pray for the courage to choose every day. I choose the Lord as my treasure. I choose that my heart will be with Him. And may it be a blessing. Father, when You say, pick up your cross and follow Me, we see it as a burden. We see it as this terrible thing. But You saying, if you pick up your cross and follow Me, you are free. You are free of worry. You are free of fear. You are free of all the things that are dragging you because your treasure is with Me. How much more do we need? When we sing this morning, when we said that song, when we said, I am free to dance and to sing with Him. Or when we said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God's heart for us is to be free. He came so that every captive can be free. And that means even us who are Christians and know the Lord and the things that are keeping us locked are just the worries of the world. God says today, you are free. I speak that over every person that put their hand up. in the name of Jesus Christ, you are free. Choose every day. Be disciplined every day. And I even feel for someone, you are very hard on yourself right now. You're feeling like, I know this. I should have known this. I've walked with the Lord so long. Why am I still struggling with this? God is saying to you, stop that voice right now. Quiet that voice. Because this is not an easy thing that you're saying. It's not as simple as, oh, I needed to be able to do it. It's a choice every single day. The word is clear when it says, your spirit wants what God wants, your flesh wants the worldly things. So obviously it's a battle. Let the condemnation slide off your back right now. God knew this was going to be hard. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. So ask. And then I just want to end off with us. Father, we want to thank you for just opening our eyes this morning, opening our hearts to see the truth for what it is, to see that worrying is not a fruit of the Spirit, but happiness is also not a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is. Peace is. And Father, today we come and we say, Lord, we want to choose to follow the Spirit and not our flesh. We want to choose to say, God, I don't want to do what my flesh wants. I don't want to allow my flesh to dictate my worries and my fears. I want my spirit to rule my heart. I choose to choose you. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone here. Thank you, Father, that their hearts are for you. Thank you, Lord, even while I was preaching, I could just see how you're busy with each of them. Each individual here, you knew what you wanted to say to them personally. And I feel to say as well, do not go into this week without writing down what it is that God dropped in your heart. You're going to forget it. God is saying to you, this is precious what I shared with you. It's precious what I opened up in your heart today, what I revealed to you. Make sure to remind yourself. Write it down. Meditate on it. Memorize it. And Father, I bless these people. I pray that every person here, that they will know that they are in the palm of your hand. When they go to work, when they go home, when they go to church, when they're with friends or family, everywhere that they are, they will consistently see and feel and know you are there. You are with them. Thank you for the freedom what that brings. And I bless them, Lord. May they have an amazing week. I pray for good rest. I pray for health. And I pray for joy. I really pray for your joy to be all of our strengths this week. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone.